Welcome to another session with the Market Dominance Guys, a program exploring all the high-stakes speed bumps and off-ramps of driving to the top of your market, with our host, Chris Beal from Connect and Sell, and Corey Frank from Branch 49. In this episode, we explore the art of ricocheting your way to sales success. Chris Beal and Corey Frank are joined by Richard Rabins, the CEO of Alpha Software, to discuss the power of humor in disarming prospects and humanizing interactions. As Richard shares his personal anecdote about leveraging laughter to close deals, the group delves into the age-old question, can humor be taught or is it an innate skill? While confidence plays a crucial role, the ability to notice and connect seemingly unrelated things emerges as a key aspect of effective humor in sales. So whether you're a golden retriever enthusiast or just looking to add some lighthearted surprise to your sales arsenal, join the guys as they explore the art of the ricochet and learn how to turn dead leads into living, laughing, and buying customers. Join us for this episode, Ricochet Your Way to Sales Success, The Power of Humor.
Welcome to another episode of the Market Dominance Guys, a Branch 49 home base mothership version with Corey Frank and, of course, the Sage of Sales, the Hawking of Hawking, and the Elvis of EBID. What do you think about that? The Elvis of EBID? No? All right, we're still working on that one. And in studio, all the way hailed from Boston, we have Richard Rabins, the CEO of Alpha Software. Richard, thanks for coming all the way to Branch 49 to have a little fun with the Market Dominance Guys.
Fantastic. Great to be here. Thanks.
So as is per custom, when Chris arrives here at the Branch 49 mothership, he gets the regalia, the full regalia of my office as I sit here on the sales floor. So as we were talking about last night at dinner and a little bit today that bled over, one of the things that came up in the go-to-market and the sales Market Dominance Guys strategy, Richard, with you and Chris, is we were talking about different techniques in go-to-market, and the subject of humor came up. And the subject of, Chris, I guess what we're calling ricochet opportunities, opportunities that I once thought were dormant, were dead. My marketing expense has probably already been flushed. And what's some techniques I can resurrect these things, maybe recoup some of the costs of acquisition that I had that are creative that certainly can be leveraged with a good message and powerful weapon like Connect and Sell?
Well, I'll speak to this. I'll tell a story about yesterday being on the airplane. So I was coming back from Nashville to Phoenix in order to attend the event that we were all at yesterday evening. Josh Wagner of In Revenue Capital invited us to a tremendous event, and there were limited partners and portfolio companies now called Portcos. Eventually, they're going to be called Picos, but I don't know if that's really going to work so well. And we just have to keep shortening things. Finally, just call them Cos. But anyway, we were all going to get together there. I came back a little early, sat next to a nice, quiet woman on the airplane. She was writing a screenplay. And just because the pilot inadvertently said we were going to Las Vegas instead of Phoenix, which created a moment of surprise, then a whole bunch of humor as everybody told jokes about, you know, or made fun of going to Vegas instead of Phoenix. That broke the ice. She and I started talking. And at the end of that conversation, one thing led to another. And she said, oh, now I have to be careful not to introduce you to my boss, the owner of the company, because they'll be so successful with Connect and Sell that they'll sell the company within 2 years and I'll lose my job. That's an example of a ricochet that bounced all over the place, starting with the pilot saying Vegas instead of Phoenix. That would be a ricochet right there because you still got to get to Phoenix. But it caused a conversation to take place with somebody that otherwise would not have taken place. And I think there's a lot of examples that are available. I had one this morning. I was cold called by somebody. I couldn't quite recognize his name. I picked up because it was a 206 number. And I'm waiting for a call from the Social Security Administration to tell me when I can actually speak with them about something. This has been a 4-month process waiting to get an appointment for a 10-minute conversation. And I knew it would be a Seattle number. Well, it turns out it's somebody from another company, I think Paylocity. And I encouraged him to speak with our CFO. But I pointed out to them that he could do his job much more easily, possibly by using Connect and Sell. pushing a button and talking to people. Again, that's what we call that a boomerang, which is a kind of ricochet. But there's so many indirect ways. And I think in sales, we often think everything has to be direct, 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 right to, you know, like, why would I make a list of companies that hire people who do the job that I help with unless I'm going to talk to those people? Well, because you might want to talk to their boss. But to get to their boss, you might have to talk to other people. So that's more of an IED approach to ricochets, you know, put the weapon somewhere near. And if it flips the Humvee over, then at least you can have a conversation with the scattered former inhabitants of it. So sure. We'll talk later about how that fits in with humor. But to me, humor is the ultimate, always available ricochet mechanism that can be used in sales if you have enough confidence. So that was kind of long, but it's a setup for what I think is kind of an unusual episode with Richard Ravens here. He can introduce himself, but I'll introduce him. He's the CEO founder of a company that's called Alpha Software. And Alpha Software is going after something you got to ricochet for. There's a lot of paper forms out there. They turn those paper forms into mobile capable forms that even work offline and are smart enough to keep you from making the stupid mistakes. I have never correctly filled out a form in my life. They're probably going to ask me for the Social Security Administration to fill one out. I will make a number of errors, and I will wish they had Richard's software making that form, because then I could do it on mobile and I wouldn't tear my head off and nail it to a coffee table, frankly. So that's my intro to you, Richard. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I'll dive in on the humor item. And we're talking offline, and humor is a very powerful weapon. Obviously, the person on the other side has to have a sense of humor, otherwise the weapon's not going to work. But what it does is, when you're in sales and it's a cold call, there's this natural distance that the other person's on the other side of the table. He's not on the same side of the table. And what humor does, it sort of warms things up. And in my case, I love dogs. So if I'm on a call with someone, a Zoom, and they're working at home, and I see their dog, I'm golden. No pun intended, even if it's not a golden retriever.
I was going to say, that was a good one.
Because that's a way of humanizing and putting us kind of on the same level. Because otherwise, if you're trying to sell to something, intrinsically, your target has more power than you.
We'll be back in a moment after a quick break. Connect and Sell. Welcome to the end of dialing as you know it. Connect and Sell's patented technology loads your best sales folks up with 8 to 10 times more live qualified conversations every day. And when we say qualified, we're talking about really qualified, like knowing what kind of cheese they like on their Impossible Whopper kind of qualified. Learn more at connectandsell.com. And we're back with Corey and Chris.
So talking about dogs is certainly one thing, but using humor can be powerful. And I was telling you and Chris last night about one case in my past that where humor ended up being a game changer. Was early on in my career, I was working for a market research company, and they did some very innovative stuff. So if you could get an appointment with the prospect, you had enough data and evidence that you were almost guaranteed to close business. But getting the appointment in the first place was non-trivial. And I'd started, this was a lot younger, and I'd started in some sort of analyst role, got promoted to a project manager, which sounded pretty cool, until I found out you actually had to kill what you wanted to eat, you had to sell. And I knew nothing about sales. So I went to my boss at the time, and there was a popular course, maybe still around, Xerox Professional Selling Skills, which Xerox had used internally and had productized. And I'd heard about this course. And I went to my boss and I said, please, can you send me in this course? Because I need to learn how to sell. And it was a lot of money. And he was reluctant. And I just nagged him till finally he said, if you promise to get out of my office, you go to the course. I went to the course, and yeah, it was useful. I learned you should probably listen more than you should talk, a bunch of core selling stuff. So my first sales opportunity after the course is got hold of a prospect, and I went through the whole routine, why he should give me the meeting, and all the objections handled it perfectly, except he wouldn't give me the meeting. So at that point, I'm toast. Failure. There's nothing to lose. So I said to the fella, I forget his name, Bill, hey, Bill, I got a level with you. So that was already caught him off guard, like, I got a level with you. And he said, well, what? I said, well, and I told him the story that I'd just gone to this professional selling course. My boss didn't believe in it. And I said, now I've got a dilemma. My dilemma is I have to get off this call, go into my boss's office and tell him that the course does not work, doesn't work. And he thought that was funny. And I got the meeting and we closed the business. Because at that point, humor can really humanize. It made him empathize with me, my situation. And versus if I had just pleaded with him and said, please give me the meeting, whatever, probably wouldn't have got the meeting. But humor was, it allowed me to sort of be at the same level. And fortunately, he thought it was funny. So that's just one example, but there's tons and tons of examples of humor.
Well, let me ask Richard and Christian, I would think that classically trained MIT schooled engineer from South Africa, that's not a bastion of influences that blossom into humor. So when you have it or your sales reps have it, and Chris, to the larger question, is it something that's taught or is it something that just is, right? A lot of lastborns have this irreverency gene, right? This humor gene. But if Richard, if we were to come in to take your sales organization and upskill them on many things, their CRM, their automation, their list strategy, their sales methodologies, where would humor fit in? And Chris, how do you teach, train? Where does it come from, this confidence to use humor? And let's start right there.
Well, I've never been able to teach it, so I've given up. I am a last born, as you well know. And I also think everything's pretty damn funny, which helps if you're looking at humor. I mean, there's an agility of mind that's required to be funny in the moment. And then there's the ability to learn a bunch of funny things and trot them out. And the former, I think, is extremely hard to teach, that agility of mind to find something funny in the moment, because our minds go where our minds go. Mine happens to go mostly to puns. I reason, as I've said before in this podcast, I actually reason in a solution sense by following the sounds of words rather than their meanings, because it gets me out of whatever box I'm in, because a word that sounds like another word is very rarely going to mean the same thing. And so it takes me out of my rut, and I'm like everybody else, I'm in a rut, and I don't like being in a rut. So I like the sounds of words. In fact, I won't tell you what company it is, but with Helen, folks on the podcast know I'm married to this brilliant MIT-trained mechanical engineer who happens to have written a wonderfully famous book. Everybody should read this book, by the way, Love Your Team, because there's nothing funny in it except one thing in one of the forewords. And if you can find that and send it to me, I will either send you a dollar or I won't. Anyway, so we're talking about a company that's name she couldn't remember just for whatever reason. And I finally said, well, it rhymes with what's her face. And suddenly she could think of the person that she knows who's involved with that company and go, oh, it rhymes with what's her face. And she's gotten the name right ever since. Part of which is because that's a funny thing to say. It rhymes with what's her face. And it's very easy to remember things that surprised you, which is the essence of humor. Humor is surprise followed by relief. You're surprised, which is a negative. All surprises are considered a threat. Every surprise, good, bad, or indifferent, they're all a threat. So as you talk about the croc brain, the crocodile brain, Corey, the crocodile brain always responds to a surprise as a threat. Now the question is, what comes next? So if what comes next is relief, it's not a threat, that's funny. And how do we advertise that relief to the people around us so that they can relax because now they're no longer threatened by the surprise, we laugh. So laughter is a way of saying it's okay. And that's why people like to go to catch great comedians, because they get to laugh a whole bunch, which is a way of taking a pill that says it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, when they know damn well that very few things in their life are okay and they're going to die relatively soon compared to what they would prefer. But laughter, as they say, the best medicine. Well, it's also the best dodge, right? But it's always surprise. And the problem with surprise, it's hard to teach people to be surprising because they would prefer not to be a threat. This is why humor raises your status, because you're willing to be surprising, and it actually fulfills the same role as, I know I'm an interruption, which is another way of dealing with being a threat. But nobody wants to be a threat, so very few people want to be funny. It's just kind of fun. But if you can learn to overcome that, I don't know how to teach it, then
is it a confidence thing? I mean, Richard and Chris, is it a confidence thing? If I'm a new sales rep and I'm listening to this and I say, I have the chairman of the board of a very, very successful software company who knows the left brain, who knows how things work, classically trained MIT, and the CEO holder of 24, maybe 25, he's not sure, patents. And these aren't the exact Abbott and Costello I want to learn from to say you should incorporate humor. But after I get past that, I want to say, how do I learn it? How do I adopt it? Is it a confidence thing that I have to be bold enough to try things as you did, Richard, when you talked about the Xerox training example with the prospect? Yeah. Or where should I start?
I think it does require a good chunk of self-confidence. I don't know if you can teach self-confidence. I think there probably are certain techniques that can help boost your self-confidence. And you also, in a fundamental way, you as a human being have to realize there's some really serious things in life. Most everything else is not that serious. It's not a life or death matter. And at the end of the day, we're born, we live, we die, and you look back at all these things that you thought were so important and so critical, and you look at them, you put them in a, I think, proper perspective. So I think if you go into, let's say, a sales situation, if you are self-confident and you do have, I think humor is sort of an intrinsic capability. If you do have that capability, at least the self-confidence will prevent you from suppressing it. I gave you guys another example last night. So when I was in that same company pitching, getting meetings, I got a meeting with J&J, big company. It was the Tylenol group. And I was presenting, this was actually, we closed a deal and this was the findings. And the company I was working for at the time, they would run these simulated test markets. So they would advise consumer product companies on whether they should launch a new product, a new cat food, a new shampoo, a new form of, in this case, Tylenol. And I was pretty young, 25, and I'm presenting in this amphitheater in J&J's headquarters, probably 60 or 70 people there. And the first slide comes up and there's a typo. And these guys have just spent $250,000 on a market research project. And this 25-year-old twit comes up with a typo. So again, I don't know if you can teach this. So I sort of had to think quickly, do I pretend that the typo is not there and assume nobody's going to see it? It's like, people will see it. Out of 60 or 70 people, they're going to see it. So you've got to acknowledge it. So what I did, I said, we're going to start this with a test. How many of you guys have spotted the typo? Now, why is that funny? I don't know why it's funny, but it's funny. And it basically took a negative, which is on a $250,000 consulting project, there shouldn't have been a typo, right? But there was a typo. And rather than let that tear you down, so again, there's a confidence issue. And it's also, I mean, a lot of people have said, you've got to remember, everybody, when they put their clothes on, it's one leg at a time. There's no getting around it. At the end of the day, we're all human beings. And if you can somehow, again, it's no reason to to accept a lower status when it's in a sales situation. You want to keep your status as much as possible on the same level.
Interesting. I love that story. I think we were talking about the ability to notice. And Conan O'Brien had a podcast, and he had Stephen Wright, one of your favorites, Richard, the podcast. And what the advice that Conan O'Brien was giving to other young comedians that were listening to this podcast is that you have to train your mind to notice. When you notice the typo, you notice something that was unusual. And he suggests to hone in, to develop your comedic skills, is hone in and be aware of your noticing abilities. It's all about scanning, scanning, scanning. And ultimately, the best comedians, Chris, I think we've talked about this, the best comedians connect things that should be connected.
Right.
And Conan O'Brien's father made the observation as Conan was coming up into the business. Father was a scientist, and he says, you're making a living, in essence, off of something that should probably be treated. In other words, the synapses aren't supposed to cross like that. They're not supposed to touch. But things are wrong in a beautiful way, and somehow you see a connection. So if you can do that in a modest way or in a humorous way like you did about identifying the tempo, I think things are on the track to identifying humor.
You know, just talking about comedians, some people love him, some people hate him. I happen to think Larry David is very funny. And if you look at his episodes, they're quite complex, the script. There's three or four things woven in together, and he ties them in together. But one thing about what he does, it's back to the notice. He picks up on just little things that people do that you sort of notice, but you ignore. And he sort of turns them into a big deal. And then it's funny, but it's all based on real world observation of humans, because we're very strange creatures, very complex, very strange. And intrinsically, we are funny. We don't necessarily mean to be funny, but any observer, you know, I think the bottom line is people take themselves way too seriously. And on the other hand, in the sales thing, if the salesperson can disarm you through humor, humor is generally enjoyable. And it also, as you said, it relaxes you. And it allows you then maybe to focus on, or at least the conversation, to focus on, hey, maybe this person has called me and has something to offer that is valuable, because there's this natural shield that goes up. If you're speaking to an unknown person and it's not coming from a recommendation, the shield automatically goes up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to use whatever weapon you can. And whether it's commenting on the guy's golden retriever, which I find it works every time. You can take the stiffest, coldest call for someone, very formal. And if you're lucky enough that he's working, well, maybe even in the office, and he has a dog or a cat, but generally a dog, you ask him, it's like asking mothers about their babies. What mother doesn't want to talk about their baby?
In this episode, you just heard Richard, Corey, and Chris explore the delicate art of wielding humor in sales. But as Chris hinted, there's a balance to strike. You can't take the funny too far. Join us next time as Corey, Richard, and Chris dive deeper into this comedic conundrum. They'll discuss the risks of overdoing it with humor and share tips for harnessing wit without alienating prospects. Until then, keep sharpening your comedic chops and ricocheting your way to sales success. Selling a big idea to a skeptical customer, investor, or partner is one of the hardest jobs in business. So when it's time to really go big,
Chris Beal and Corey Frank are joined by Richard Ravens, the CEO of Alpha Software,
and discuss the power of humor in disarming prospects and humanizing interactions.
As Richard shares his personal anecdote about leveraging laughter to close deals, the group delves into the age-old question, can humor be taught, or is it an innate skill? While confidence plays a crucial role, the ability to notice and connect seemingly unrelated things emerges as a key aspect of effective humor in sales. So whether you're a Golden Retriever enthusiast or just looking to add some lighthearted surprise to your sales arsenal, join the guys as they explore the art of the ricochet and learn how to turn dead leads into living, laughing, and buying customers. Join us for this episode, Ricochet Your Way to Sales Success, The Power of Humor.